The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Hey guys, this is Shannon. You're listening to The Thing Is. I'm here as always with my lovely co-host, Maddie.
Hello. Wow, everything's in the wrong spot, Shannon. This is not getting off to a great start here over at the Jester Skull household.
Oh boy. Well, yeah. Let's introduce our guest then as you get your life together.
Yeah, I'm going to try.
We have, first of all, frontman of The Struts and owner and designer of the Beautifully Strange clothing line. It is Luke Spiller. Welcome, Luke.
Hi. The clothing line actually is yet to actually become a real thing. It's a pipe dream, but I'm glad that you picked up on that.
Yeah, like we're going to build the hype. It'll get it going.
I like that a lot. Thanks for having me, though.
Thank you so much for being on. And comedian and host of Everybody is Awful podcast on Barstool Sports and Ozzy's Boneyard on Sirius XM. It is Jim Florentine. Welcome, Jim.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for being here. So we're going to start off at the beginning. I feel like this is kind of like a new fake segment. I start off the show either by talking about a dream, which I know everybody loves, or asking a question to the group. And this week I have a question for the group. And I actually wish that I would have asked this question to last week's show and swapped them because last week's show was about rub and tugs. And I feel like this is a better group for that. But this one's more of like a mushy thing. So I watched a show called Soulmates, which Ralph Sutton suggested for me to watch. It aired in October of 2020. I watched it on Prime and it's about, it's like an anthology series. So it's a different story each time, but it's all about in the event in like a few years from now, they come up with some kind of algorithm where you can find your soulmate. And so like each story is kind of like people are married and they're deciding whether they want to or not to like roll the dice and see if they're with their soulmate or not. And then singles would do it and whatever. And it was sometimes a problem, sometimes not. So I'm curious, and Maddie, so I know you're in a relationship. I'm curious if this thing became a thing, would you take the test? So for you guys, Maddie is in a relationship for about 16, 17 years and he's engaged.
Boy, am I about to sound like a real fruit when I tell everyone that I was just not an hour ago thinking about, I think we're soulmates because at the altar, I might say even after death, you know, and try to be cute with the audience there.
I really like that in the vows. I'm not going to lie.
That's it. I'm taking it out. I got it. No, can't go with the chick. I mean, if you said it's good, I'm not. No, you were like, it's terrible. Like, yeah, it's a good idea then.
Damn it. I'll come back around. So would you want to take the test if you, if it showed you that somebody else is your soulmate?
Yeah. I mean, for sure. And then maybe I'll just leave Erin after almost 18 years. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? Right. Like, what's the right answer? I guess I'd have to find out. Right.
I mean, I feel like the romantic answer is I don't need to take the test because
it's
I already
know.
It's also
the bullshit answer though, because everyone's curious about it at least.
I think so.
Right. But then again, it's also like if you could look into a crystal ball and see how you die, would you want to see that?
Right.
I feel like it's almost on that level.
Fair. So what about you guys? Jim, are you currently in a relationship?
No, but I'd probably be willing to take the test just to see, you know, I'd be into it. Why not?
And then would you like pursue it? Because I know sometimes like if you don't want to get into a relationship, maybe you'd want to take your time in finding that information. But would you pursue it then?
I would pursue it and then I would try to figure out if the test was wrong or not. You know, I just start looking for faults right on the first date. Like this, she's not for me.
What do you want from me, honey? I had to do it for science.
Yeah, she doesn't like metal and sports. What the fuck are you doing here?
Well, that's also an interesting thing is like when they were showing the test being done and they were like scanning their eyeball. So it's not like a personality test type thing. It's something deeper. They never really explained how they did it. So I don't know if it's like, it's a fictional TV show, Maddie.
Oh.
It is bullshit.
I really just went off my own world where I made this a real thing. That was fun. All right. It was fun while it lasted.
What about you, Luke? Would you do it?
I can't help but think that a test like that being available would sort of like already like would make like the modern day dating scene even more murky and might take out a little bit of the magic. I mean, for instance, being on like dating apps and even sort of like connecting to people on social media now is so kind of second nature, especially for like a whole generation, like growing up with it. I do consider myself like really lucky to have like spent a lot of my like important like years growing up without a smartphone, without dating apps, and actually like doing it the old fashioned way and actually meeting people and having that kind of connection. So I don't know, but the thing is, like, I do believe in the idea of like a soulmate, but then I would argue surely part of that experience is how you meet, the circumstances in which you meet. Do you see what I mean? I think it just might dilute the whole experience that we call love.
I get what you're saying, but I feel like those experiences help to like build up your feelings for that person. But if this person is your soulmate, then those feelings that are gonna like theoretically just kind of pop up. Like when you see the moment your eyes lay on this person, you're gonna be like, love.
Yeah, but what if she's a pig?
So that's one of the shows they never got to. They never got to if they're both just disgusted by each other.
Yeah.
They're always good looking. Yeah, I don't know. But I suggest you guys go in and check that out. It's just something to think about. I would enjoy having an app like that. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Just any fucking thing to move on here.
Anything. I don't know if you guys probably don't know this, and I have to say this every episode, but in March, it will be 3 years since I've had sex with anybody. And now in the pandemic, it's impossible. This is so sad and terrible. I saw this pop up online that there's Zoom speed dating. I mean, that's the worst thing, right?
It's gotta be.
Yeah.
It can't be good at all. Do you just all do it at once? You're all in the same room just yapping over each other?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I give
can't be any better than that.
I mean, but you got to think of like, well, now that Luke just said he doesn't mind it, but like what kind of guy is going to be like doing Zoom?
A gorgeous one like Luke.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'll go on Zoom, you fucking ugly assholes.
He doesn't need to go on Zoom, though. I think he's killing
it. That's the thing, yeah. He's fucking going to pick up a few out of the chat here tonight.
Yeah, shout out to the Zoom chat.
Well, Shannon, you picked a good time to be celibate with everything going on.
I guess that's true, but it really just adds, like, where other people are maybe forced into celibacy during the lockdown. I already had 2 years of it before.
Is this celibacy out of choice? I'm just curious.
It's out of circumstance, I guess. Right. Like, I'm not trying to be celibate, but I also wouldn't mind having sex with somebody if I could find someone that I wanted to have sex with.
Jim.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, why not? Right? I'd do it. Ruin my relationship, Shannon, just to fuck, you know, throw you a bone.
No, thank you. Oh, no, thanks. All right.
That's where your friend is, you know?
I appreciate it. All right. Well, that was it. That was my question of the day. Now we're going to get into the segments. So the first time we have new guests on the show, the first question we like to ask is for you to tell a story about your worst date experience or weirdest sexual experience, meaning something went wrong. We'll start with you, Luke.
Oh, Don't start with me. I'm trying to think of one. I know.
Weirdest sex experience, or what was the other one?
Or worst date. Yeah, I added weirdest sexual experience because most comedians that come on the show don't date, so I added that in there to kind of help with the story.
You guys are both like, no, we're crushing it, we're doing great. Don't worry about it.
I've definitely had a few dates, especially like when I was younger, with someone, and I wasn't really spitting a lot of game back then. And and this isn't necessarily like bad, but just really liking the person and having like an incredible date, and then basically just kind of like missing my chance, really, on sort of like going in for like that kiss at the end, or even sort of like securing a second date. And when you're
so the ones
like,
that got away.
Yeah, the ones that go in, you're in the elevator, just like banging your head against the wall, you know, like, why? But gosh, I'm sure there's more embarrassing ones I could probably think of, but.
I feel like that's such like a different, like bad date than what mine would be if I got him back, like back in the pool. You know what I mean? I come up the steps of some nice fancy restaurant. I get to the top and she's like, oh, I thought there'd be more of you.
Maddie's very little, guys.
Yeah, I'm a short guy.
Very short.
Little fella.
I remember my first girlfriend when I was 18 years old. I used saran wrap as a condom one night.
There you go.
I'm breaking up over it. She was so disgusted.
Okay. That's
how well did it work? How long did it work?
On the whole time. It was tough. It was like the third time I ever had sex, and we were fooling around in her living room. Her parents were upstairs and she's like, you got a condom? And I didn't have one. I'm like, hold on. I went up to her kitchen looking for a condom. You know, her parents are like 65 years old. Like they're going to have condoms in the,
you know, in the fucking fridge.
In the junk drawer, you know? So, you know, and this is the third time I'm having sex. I'm 18 years old. I'm looking around. I just saw saran wrap. I'm like, all right, this will do.
Yeah, whatever.
And then
works.
You know, it was dark down there and she didn't know. I go, I found one. She's like, where did you find one? I go, no, I found one. And then, when she turned the light on, I realized what I was doing because it wasn't really working well.
She was it crinkling a lot?
Huh?
Was it crinkling a lot? Like when you opened
it?
No,
it was saran wrap, but it was just, you know, dry.
Gas station sandwich, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And then she wound up breaking up with me the next day over it.
Oh,
jeez. Yeah, and I was like, you know, I didn't know.
There was I have no memory anymore, but there was a rock star recently on the SDR show that told a very similar story that he used saran wrap, I think during his first time having sex. And did you finish inside her?
No, because she was at a few minutes in, she's like, ow, because it was dark. She didn't know. She didn't know I was using saran wrap. She turned the light on. And she saw that I had saran wrap and she started cursing me out. Her parents woke up. I had to leave. And then the next day she wanted to break it up with me.
Well, you tried. I mean, it was dark and you didn't just not use anything.
Yeah. A for effort, no?
Exactly. To this day, I think about it every time I eat leftovers.
Yeah, that's seeing things in a new light. What would you do, Shannon? Would you fucking dump a guy, or would you like be like, you would praise him for being resourceful?
I mean, I really appreciate the effort put forth.
Right.
And I feel like I don't know. Isn't it like smoother than the material of a condom?
Like saran wrap?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's got to be horrible. I don't have a vagina, but I could only imagine it would have to be a terrible experience to have.
Yeah, it wasn't working well.
Like folds in on itself. It's terrible.
Yeah, it sticks to itself. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And it's like, did you think that could possibly work the same way as a condom? Or were you just like, if you really thought that, then I'm kind of okay with it.
I didn't think that. I was just, it was 2 a.m. I had some beers in me. It was the third time I was having sex. I was 18. I was out of my mind.
Yeah.
I'm like, this will do.
Thank this God or a coaster.
Find, yeah. Thank God I didn't find the tinfoil.
Yeah. I'm okay with it. But I get her side of it, but I'm okay with it. All right, Luke, did you have? Oh, sorry, Jim.
You contact her and tell her, you know, yes. You shouldn't have broke up with him.
Yeah, so, you did the wrong thing. Did you think of another story, Luke, or do you want to move on?
Yeah, let's just move on.
Okay. If you think of something, we can come back to it. Okay, guys, really quick, for fans of the show who are over 21, I got something you're going to love, and that's HempireDirect.com. Why are you going to love this? Well, they can legally sell you Delta 8 THC in 42 states. I have actually tried, you guys know I'm not a huge weed connoisseur, but I do have trouble sleeping, and I tried one of their gummies. I took a little bite of one of their gummies, the same I'd do with a regular edible, And it absolutely hit me the same way regular weed would, maybe even a little stronger. So if you're a weed smoker, this is something you definitely have to try. Hempire Direct is priced to keep you high. And wait till you hear this. When you use promo code GASDABS, G-A-S-D-A-B-S, you're going to get $5 off any of their products. So that means you can get the Delta 8 THC distillate syringes for dabbing for only $15, Delta 8 gummies for only $15, or the 1 gram of Delta 8 dab diamonds for $15. So once again, that's hempiredirect.com, H-E-M-P-I-R-E, direct.com for high quality lab test verified Delta 8 THC. And right now, if you go to their site, you can enter for your chance to win a $999 dab rig. So there's no risk there. Just give it a shot and you can get a pretty awesome piece of equipment. Last time, check out hempiredirect.com or click the link in this episode description and use the promo code GASDABS for $5 off your order. All right, let's get back to the show. So for now, we'll move on to bad things.
Bad things with you.
And this is the part of the story where we talk about physical altercations.
Did you say story? Part of the story? I think you said part of the story. Which
I do that a lot lately.
I enjoyed. I was like, this is a good story.
You know? I think I'm getting dementia. Listen. I really think I'm getting dementia.
Oh, good. We can fucking be demented together.
I just bought an Audible by I think Sanjay Gupta called Stay Sharp. And it's like to try to like get your shit together because I really forget everything.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, you know, not to go off on a tangent, it'll be very short, but like in these days where it's like you think of something and you're like, oh, that's interesting. Let me look it up. And there's just so much information constantly going in our brain. Like there's no way we can remember everything. So that's got to be like pushing out what I'm supposed to do in an hour.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that.
I don't know though, because I'm always like, I feel like it depends on what you want to retain. You know what I mean? Because there's plenty of shit that I can't retain.
I want to retain everything.
But like I'm also not done Yeah, but some shit doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like you'll see if you get in like into a relationship at some point in your life, you're like, I don't want to hear about your fucking day again. I don't care. I don't care what your friend at work did.
Okay, so this is the fight story or show, whichever word part of the show. I'll start with you again, Luke, if you're prepared.
Explain it again, what it is, Sharon?
It's a fight story. So a physical altercation that you've been in, and if you've been in multiple fights, the most memorable one.
Yeah, so I've had quite a few, but probably one of the most notable ones was it always involves a girl. So I was seeing this girl years and years ago, and I went off to Australia and carried on talking, and I got back about a month after, round about Halloween time, and they were throwing this big like kind of house party, and she invited me down, so I was like, cool. So I went down, and it was yeah, like everyone was like fucked up, having a great time. Anyway, I see her like talking to this like big guy. He's like a lot bigger than me. And they were kind of, you know, they had a vibe going on. So I kind of pulled her to one side at one point and was like, you know, you guys like kind of together, like what's going on? She's like looking around like, no, 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 nothing like that. I'm like, okay, like game on, you know? So I'm just kind of doing my thing and like hanging around and sort of like we're chatting. I'm like fixing her drinks up and like dancing and stuff. I didn't realize they'd literally been going out maybe like a week or so after I'd gone to Australia. So all this time they were pretty much like a couple. For some reason she didn't really want to like tell me. I don't know, maybe she liked the attention. And then after like 3 or 4 hours, I remember like sitting there in sort of like the lounge area in this house, rolling a cigarette, the lights gets switched off. So I'm like, what's going on? Then like five guys just like come up and I'm like literally just getting battered. And I can barely like stand up. And I managed to sort of like get up straight and sort of like try and square up, and then I get smacked in the face, and then there was this door which had a huge pane of glass through it, like really thin glass, like from like the 70s like kind of era. So of course I went straight through it, my hand went through first, you can't really see it, but I got giant slash where the hand went through, and then my ass went through it afterwards, and it slashed right up my leg, missing like my ligament by about like this much. And the beatings just carried on. Then after about like 15 minutes or so, kind of eased off, everyone kind of backed off, and I was like, okay, I think it's, I'll get my coat and leave now. So I did. And then I'm walking back and I'm like bleeding everywhere. I'm pretty like fucked up, so I wasn't really that aware of what was going on. Got home, and then I was like, I better take a shower because, you know, I'm about to get into bed. Took off my trousers, water came down, and I was like, ah, fuck. Didn't realize, didn't even notice my leg, but there was a cut like this big, and it had gotten about that wide where the flesh was literally coming and sort of like folding, the skin was like
flowering out
precisely. Yeah. And I was like, shit, I can't sleep on that. So like at 4 in the morning, I like knock on my parents' door, like, I need to go to hospital. And they're like, what? So that was one of the more notable sort of like fights.
How old were you about?
About 18.
I mean, like, what a bunch of pussies, like, to not only jump you, but jump you in the dark. That's a little overkill.
Yeah, I mean,
and what a bitch.
The thing is like, I've never been one to really kind of hold a grudge. And of course, like, you know, I had to report it because it was multiple people and stuff. And I remember the policeman being like so taken back. So he was like, any last statement? And I was like, I forgive him. And he was just like, what? And I was like, yeah, fuck it. Like, whatever. And I never spoke to them again. And it's just weird how kind of life carries on. And I heard that a few of the people, their lives didn't turn out exactly great. In fact, the girl who I was kind of like dating, you know, like, unfortunately, she actually committed suicide like 2 or 3 years ago. So it really kind of puts everything into perspective in a strange, bizarre way.
So you win.
So you won that one.
Yeah.
You won. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, Jim, it's your turn.
I don't know. I don't really have any. I haven't gotten a fight since I was like in junior high school. You know, like, I never had any really crazy altercations with any, you know, ex-girlfriends or girlfriends or anything like that. So I really don't have any stories.
It doesn't have to be surrounding a girl
or anything. I mean, like, I've had people try to rush the stage doing stand-up, a heckler, you know, getting thrown out. I got one of the fight me out front and stuff like that never materialized, you know, stuff like that, but nothing too crazy.
Wow. I really thought this was going to be the other way around.
Yeah, you would think. Yeah. Hanging around a bunch of drunk people, you know, being in a band and comics, you know, drunk people out of control. But yeah, never. I always kind of know to avoid those situations, you know, I just, you know, so I never had that problem, you know, to, like, especially like if you're on the road and you're in a little small town and you meet some girl and she's like, hey, let's go to the local bar. Let's get a couple of beers. You know, that's a bad move. Because that little small town that, you know, there's guys in there that been in love with that girl since high school.
Yeah. They've been working on it for fucking decades.
Yeah.
Here comes you.
Or the rock star coming in town. Like, who is this guy? You're going to get the shit beat out of you.
Yeah.
You don't make that move. So I've always avoided those kind of situations, you know. Or go to a house party or something, you know, when you're in the middle of nowhere. It's not good.
Well, there you go. And there's a lesson for everybody.
It's scary, like, when things like that happen, like, when you're on stage. Like, I mean, once, stupidly, like, I used to drink quite a lot. And religiously, before going on stage, used to get pretty loaded. And we were playing this one place, I don't know where it was like Alabama or something like that, and this girl, I was drinking like a big whiskey and Coke because I used to get them in these giant glasses so I don't have to keep going back and forth. So I could just almost like a pint of whiskey and Coke on stage. And this girl's like, what are you drinking? She was like right on the front row. I said, why don't you find out? And I thought it'd be funny if I poured it over her because like they're all fans. So I pour the drink over her head and everyone's like, woo! But she was like, not happy at all. Her boyfriend's next to her, pissing himself laughing. Fuck you, you mother. And she like flipped. She went from being like the most adoring fan just to wanting to kill me. And she's going for a handbag, throwing nail varnish at me and stuff. I'm like dodging it like on stage, you know?
That's a really bad prank to have like bomb. Because then that person just wet for a while. Like that's a really long lasting night ruining prank to have fail.
It seemed like the crowd enjoyed it though. So I feel
I mean, worth it. Yeah. I'm not going to, for sure. I'm not going to, you know, did nothing wrong. I would do it again 1,000 times.
Like Ozzy used to have that move where he'd come out with a big hose and hose down the first like 10 rows.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd be like, oh man, I don't feel like getting wet, but it's Ozzy. So I'm going to, you know, I'm going to deal with it.
I mean, if they let Gallagher get away with it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they had like cloaks and stuff in his front free rows. Yeah.
I love that the boyfriend was laughing because he's like, good.
I've wanted to do that for years.
Yeah, she got dragged out.
She was a bit of a bad apple. She like got dragged out. The boyfriend's like, you can, and everyone's just going, woo, and pointing. She like runs up to the merchandise table and she like, fuck, she flipped it on the way out.
Wow.
She was cray cray.
And then she deserved it, I think. Good job.
Maybe, you know, maybe a bit of karma. Karma and a Coke.
I thought that that story was going to go in the direction of then her boyfriend rushed the stage.
Yeah.
That's what I thought was going to happen. So you've never had anybody rush the stage violently, Luke?
Not violently, no. Passionately, yes. I've had random people come up, grab things, but I used to get really kind of like close and get on the barriers and stuff. And I used to, like when we were doing like the 600-700 capacity venues, when it was a lot smaller, I used to get in the crowd and divide them and would do like a sing off. And I'd sort of like get in there and push everyone side and get them all on the ground. And I'd kind of walk up and down, and make an aisle and put them in two teams and stuff. But there was always like three or four people who were just totally shit faced. And they would never sort of like, as the crowd parted, they'd just be left stood there like a wobbling zombie. And then you go part, you know, they'd like grab my penis, like they'd grab any like body part that they could, like as I was walking past, you know. And then like, it's expected, isn't it? If you get in amongst them, it's like
all in good fun.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's take one more quick little break. This one is for, again, fans of the show who are over the age of 21. I want to tell you about Yo Kratom. If you're a fan of the show and listened to it before, you know all about it. But if you're a new listener, let me tell you something that will be useful in your life. Yo Kratom is the home of the $60 kilo. How much? $60 for a full kilo. That's right. If you're currently a fan of Kratom, you can be getting it from our longest running sponsor, I believe, Yo Kratom, for just $60 a kilo. If you aren't a fan of Kratom, ignore this ad. The fact that Yo Kratom has high quality Kratom for just $60 a kilo has no relevance in your life. But if you are a fan of Kratom, then it's time to stop overpaying or having to go to corner stores or gas stations to get what you're looking for. Also, if you're forced to go to some crappy little store, you have no idea the quality of what you're getting. You don't have much of a choice of the strain that you want. If you know the type of strain that you love, if you go to yokratom.com, you can browse around their website. They have every single type of strain you're looking for, even a proprietary strain called Trainwreck, which is a mixture of, now I forget, it's either 11 or 21 different strains. And you know, I'm not reading off copy. This is just my personal opinion. But it's a mixture of a bunch of different strains, and that's my personal favorite. They also come in powders, capsules, tinctures, however you like to get it in your body, it is available. One more time, thank you to YoCratom for supporting this show. And if you're into Kratom, YoCratom is the one place where you can find $60 kilos. These guys are one of the biggest Kratom wholesalers, and they created YoCratom.com so that you can buy directly at incredible prices. Also, off script again, they also deliver really quickly. So it's a dependable source of Kratom for you. Last time, YoCratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. Let's get back to the show. All right, we're going to go on to our final segment, which is scary things. And this is the part of the show where we talk about weird, creepy, unexplainable, possibly paranormal experiences. It doesn't necessarily mean that you've seen a ghost, you know, but it could be like a weird thing where you had a dream and then the dream came true, or something woke you up in the middle of the night and you thought you saw your grandma. It's literally, it could be anything. Start with you again, Luke. Do you have a story?
Yeah. So me and my friends, we went to a very old sort of like set school. So it's in Bristol, which is a very, very, very old city in England. And it was like an all boys private school right next to a cathedral. A lot of the school was actually like the buildings that would have been used for the choristers and all this. So it was beautiful. It looked kind of Hogwartsy, like, so you Americans can kind of get like a visual, you know. And there was this one part of the building which was the oldest part of the school, and we had this caretaker who was like a very typical caretaker. Used to like spread all these like insane rumors about the teachers, like Mr. Cummings has got pierced nipples and a giant, like, you know, tattoo of a skull and crossbones on fire, like, and he also teaches IT. So-and-so is having an affair. But he used to tell us this one part of the building was really haunted. So we used to stay behind after school quite a lot because we were in a band together. So we would rehearse for a few hours. And in the winter, of course, it gets dark really early. And this one time we were like, yeah, let's go check it out. So the school was completely open. No one was in it apart from us. So we go to this place and we're all kind of psyching ourselves up. And it is a creepy part of the school. It's like not a lot of lights, really kind of like old windows. It's cold. It's kind of like drafty. It's the perfect setting. And we're kind of there. And my mate James was kind of getting a little bit into sort of like mild Satanism at the time. And he was kind of, you know, making us all be quiet and calling out to anything that could have been there, and nothing happened. And then I was kind of like laughing, like, oh yeah, this is bullshit. And I went up to the wall and went boom, 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 like that. And then immediately, boom, 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 like happened, like out of nowhere. We all were just like, fuck, and we just ran. We ran down the stairs and like straight into like the street where like people were, because it genuinely freaked us out. Like, and it's completely, still to this day, I can't explain exactly what happened. I know what we heard and what we didn't see, but very strange.
Is it possible that somebody else was there that you weren't aware of?
No.
Definitely not.
No, like you had, so where we went was the top floor. So there was like three floors. So as you enter this part, it's a completely separate building. So you walk past and you go up the flight of stairs, and there's only like a classroom on one floor per floor. So you look in, there's no one there. There's no one there. All the lights are off. And, yeah, like I said, it was winter, it was like dark. You would have seen a light in another room as you're going up. It was, yeah, very, very bizarre.
So how do you resolve that? What do you think in your mind? Do you just leave it as something like, I don't know, or do you think it was some sort of entity?
Well, I've been brought up, my parents are both Christians, and I, from a very young age, I've sort of had my mind open to there is a lot more than what we can physically see. And it's still to this day, what exactly that is, I don't think anyone will really know until we pass on. That's the beauty of death. No one really knows what's going to happen to you till it happens. But I think that sort of like seeing things that I've seen from a young age and hearing things, there's definitely something like at work. I mean, I went through years and years and years of being very interested sort of like in everything kind of like paranormal, not to like the extent that it kind of ruled my life, but even like watching sort of like speakers talk about the visible light, for instance, and like what we can see as human beings and what actually there is I found absolutely fascinating. And the amount of physical things we can see is like, you know, it's this much compared to the giant scope kind of out there.
And small spectrum, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I think the sooner that we realize or come to the conclusion that we can be smart enough to know that we don't really know anything, that's the only way to kind of move forward and think in the appropriate manner.
I'm dumb as fuck. I'll probably die tomorrow. I'll be done. Oh, you figured it out. You're an idiot. Beat it.
All right, Jim, do you have a story?
Yeah, I had an ex-girlfriend years ago that wound up passing away. And we used to always go see Kid Rock. Like every summer he would come around and play this outdoor venue, you know, near my house. So we'd always just go. We'd make sure we go every year. And probably 2 years after she passed away, my friend called me up. He goes, "Hey man, Kid Rock's playing tomorrow night. You want to go?" I was like, "Yeah, I don't know, man." He's like, "I got an extra ticket for you." I go, "Let me sleep on it." I was like, "I don't know." If I felt weird going because that was our thing to do. And I just passed seeing him after those years. I didn't So then that night, I don't know, maybe it was in my subconscious. I had a dream and she came to me in a dream. It's like, "Go to the show, go have fun. You're going to love it. You're going to believe me. You're going to thank me later for going to the show." And the morning I woke up, I said, "Yeah, I'll go." And I went to meet my future ex-wife there.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Wow. So do you think, so I'll ask you the same question. How do you resolve that? Do you think that it was something like, what do you really think? That it was just already in your mind, that it was a coincidence or that
it could have been, it could have been, or she could have been like, you know, messing with me because the marriage blew up after like 5 years.
That's what I was thinking. Like, yeah, that's a great prank.
At me like, "Don't worry. No, meet this one. It's going to be great for you." And then all
it's
of a
long
sudden,
game right there.
Yeah. The shit hit the fan. So it could have been, you know, at first I thought, "Wow, you were being really nice." And now I'm like, "Okay, so I must have pissed you off somehow." Yeah. But it did, you know, I did meet her there like the next day, which was strange.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts overall about like paranormal or what happens after we die? Do you believe, like, I don't know, I feel like a lot of comedians that come on the show feel like dead and over, but especially after having that experience, what are your thoughts?
I don't know. You know, I grew up strict Catholic and my mom was real Catholic, the whole family, all I went to Catholic school. So, you know, you believe it scares you in the beginning, you're worried, you know, about doing anything wrong, you know, burn in hell. Then you rebel against it, you know, when you be like, you know, getting your 20s, like, "Screw, fuck that. I'm going to go out and have fun." I don't know. I'm still on the fence. You know, I got a kid. I got him in like religion class, but I'm not sending him to Catholic school because I feel like he's got to believe in something.
Right.
You know, he's 10 years old. Like, you know, so I'm like, "All right, let him go once a week to his class or whatever. He can get his confirmation and communion and all that." But I don't know. I'm not going to force it on him. We don't go to church every Sunday. So.
Does he enjoy it?
About it? I don't know. What's that?
Does he like it?
Yeah, he's all right. You know, it's like he hangs with his friends and stuff. It's easy, you know, but,
fuck them.
You know, real the Catholic religion could really teach in like an hour. You know, it's pretty simple. I don't know why they got to keep going back. It's the same shit. Right? We don't just fucking memorize the commandments.
You know, there's fucking 10 of them. Figure it out.
Yeah,
stupid.
Just don't be a dick to people.
Yeah.
Be nice. That's it.
I think that's cool. I mean, I feel like at least like with Catholicism, because like I also grew up with like a Roman Catholic background. And I feel like it's not a terrible thing to teach kids coming up, even if you don't believe in it 100%. It's kind of like a tradition, you know, it's like teach the stuff that you learned when you were growing up, and then they'll figure out later on that most of it is really just control people.
Yeah.
I mean, although I dropped out.
He still believes in Santa Claus too, so he's gonna give me shit. Yeah. He was fake.
How old is he?
It's all bullshit. I'm on to you. Yeah, I think that's what ruined it for me. I was like, oh, yeah. Santa either. You guys are all full of shit.
Oh yeah, I was mad. When I found out like 12. I was like 12. I found out.
Yeah.
He's Santa. So he still believes in it, which is good. I'm hoping someone, one of his friends, tells him, so I don't have to get him extra gifts, because I got to get him gifts from Santa. It's fucking killing me.
You were 12 when you found out about Santa?
What's that?
You were 12 when you found out about Santa?
And I was 14 when I found out pro wrestling wasn't real. I was heartbroken. It was like my first love.
The fucking back to back.
It was devastating.
Do you remember like the moment that you found out that Santa wasn't real?
You know, kids in school were saying it, and then I was like, yeah, that's bullshit. And then I went and told asked my older brothers, and like, yeah, it's not real. And I was furious.
Wow. I don't remember a specific time, because I feel like it was like over, and I feel like it was around 12 years old for me too, but I feel like it was like a series of years where it was kind of like, it's a little suspicious. And then it just kind of like faded into not believing. I don't remember a hard point, but I did, when I was, do a trick on my parents to find out that the tooth fairy wasn't real. Because I started to be suspicious about that. And one of my teeth came out, and I didn't tell them. And then I put it under my pillow when I woke up in the morning, and I felt like a little crushed when there was nothing. And then I told my parents, and I was like, I knew it. The tooth fairy's not real. And they were like, you just didn't look good enough. Because then one of my parents like snuck into my bedroom behind me. They're like, you didn't look over here. And then there was like a $5 bill, but I was already onto it. But I pretended to believe them for them, but...
That's funny, because my kid just found all his old teeth. I keep them. You know, he still believes the tooth fairy. I got him in a baggie. And the other day he goes, Dad, whose teeth are these? Are these mine? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, what? How are they still here? And I'm like, there was a few that came out. Remember, we didn't put it under the pillow? He's like, no, I don't remember. And I go, yeah, when you were really young. Like, I had to get out of it.
I feel like most parents will do like the really fantastical explanation, like, well, me and the tooth fairy, we're friends. And after the tooth fairy takes it, they give it back and I keep it for them, like a whole thing.
I'd be like, nah, I killed the kid.
Yeah, he's not going to believe that.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Okay. I have one listener submitted story. This is actually a UFO story, which we don't really get that often. So I'll read it real quick and then we can discuss. This is from Bryce in North Carolina. When I was 10, my sister and I saw UFOs pretty often. I told my parents and nobody believed me until one night they saw it too. We were pulling in the driveway, coming back from going out to eat, got out of the car. My sister pointed to the sky and said, magic school bus. It kind of looked like a bus, but about the same size with two headlights on the front, but it had rounded corners and it was hovering over the cotton field. I was an aviation nerd, so I could tell it was about 150 feet high, 150 feet over the trees, and about the size of a Chinook helicopter. I thought it was until it moved. It shot straight up extremely fast, stopped abruptly, then shot off to the right. We never saw it again after that night. But what was really freaky was what else my little sister knew about it. Whenever I asked her about the magic school bus, she would talk about owl people. I didn't think anything of it until I saw a UFO documentary that said some abductees can't remember anything except seeing a white owl in the window. Bryce, North Carolina.
Ooh, that sounds like that film Encounters of the Fifth Kind, which was a freaky film, but good film.
Yeah, I don't remember that movie very well, but the owl part freaks me out of that.
So hold on, there are owls in the spaceships?
No, well, it's saying that according to this documentary that he had watched, that some people don't remember the whole encounter. They mm-hmm. just remember this one particular thing, which is maybe a memory placed in your mind afterwards of seeing a white owl.
See, in the one that I watched, it's similar kind of thing, but yeah, like you said, the last thing that they're sort of suggesting that the ETs are sort of like using spying devices which look a lot like owls, which will sit outside your window and watch you and wait for you to go to sleep until they can abduct you. So they'll literally go into your house, sneak into your bedroom, and apparently the memory is so traumatic that you suppress it. And that's why you won't remember.
This feels like the next headline of like QAnon.com or whatever site they're on, you know. He goes, the owls, man, they're watching us. Fucking Biden's using the owls.
I've never heard that before, that they have something spying on you.
I mean, that's a bit far-fetched, isn't it? Like, yes. With all that technology, it's like, even now, if we had the technology to have these kind of crafts, you know, that would defy gravity and do things that none of our aircraft can do, the amount of time and resources that are sitting there going, right, we've got to make these owls now. I've got this great idea. We're going to make owls or small dogs or cats.
It's a terrible surveillance device, though, owls. When's the last time you saw an owl? Go ahead. I'll wait. I got it all fucking night.
Wait, you know what?
And then everyone would be like, ooh, look at a cute owl.
Hold on. Wait, we have the thing incidents happening right now. Is do you remember the thing about the owls? The La Lechuza?
That's what I've been thinking about this entire time, yeah.
Okay, so it's come up on the show before that I guess in some sort of Latin American belief that if you see this owl, that it's like a bad omen, La Lechuza. Mm-hmm. And then it was mentioned on the show. And then I was brought to an actress from my crazy ex-girlfriend, and she came on and her story was about exactly that. But anyway, that's just a weird connection. But I mean, it could have something to do with it if the owl is connected to aliens. I don't know.
You know why I really hate the owl thing? Because like, I mean, I saw an owl like a year or two ago, but it was flying away. So now I'm thinking like, maybe that was like the bad stuff going away from me. You know what I mean?
It's a new era. It was watching you that whole time.
Man, I fucking busted that nigga. You know what I mean? Sorry. I couldn't help myself.
What are your thoughts on that? Yeah, we're gonna believe you.
Yeah, we don't need that kind of heat.
What are your thoughts on UFOs, Jim?
You know, about 5 years ago, and before 5 years ago, I was totally against it. Anyone that said they got abducted. I remember Sammy Hagar had this big story how when he was a teenager, him and his brother maybe got abducted and they were gone for a couple of days. I'm like, get out of here, you're crazy. But now, like within the last few years, I totally believe it. You know, just seeing the footage, the military footage, the stuff that they put out there, the Pentagon, stuff that got released and, you know, some documents and stuff that weren't supposed to be seen, and everybody's seeing it. And then now there's pictures and videos of these things in the sky. So, I'm on board now that they're out there.
And you believe it's like intelligent life?
Yeah, definitely. You always thought like, no, why would they show up all the time? But it's definitely happened. There's no question about it. It's not a coincidence with all these spottings and, you know, they're supposed to release a bunch of documents about it. Who knows if they ever will, but.
Yeah, the wording of that though,
it's all gonna be blacked out and shit.
Yeah, redacted. Because they're supposed to report all the information that they have, and I don't know how many days are left of that 180 days.
It was when was that anyway?
I'm not sure. That's why I said I don't know how many days are left.
Oh, sorry.
But they said they have to release that information to the Senate. So, but that doesn't mean we're gonna get it. It just means it's gonna be passed around the government still, and they decide what they want to do with it, which isn't gonna be to tell us anything good.
No,
I hate them all.
The thing is,
fucking cocksuckers.
The thing is, like, right now, with the state of the world, even pandemic aside, just like how divided everyone is, etc. Knowing for a fact that there is intelligent life out there would be the best thing for the human race. We would all, I feel like suddenly everyone would be like, looking around and saying, oh shit, we're not alone. And I think it would actually unite us in a way that we've never seen, because do you get what I mean? Instead of like,
I also feel like
we would
unite.
Yeah.
No, I
we'd
think
unite it would... and attack them. Like somebody would fucking take a shot and then it would be a whole thing and we'd be decimated.
Well, that's what I think too. It would just give us something new to hate as a whole. And then instead of hating each other, everybody would hate this thing that we don't know about, and we would unite in against this thing that we don't know about. I think
that's like universism or something. That'll be a thing.
Yeah. Or it could scare the shit out of everybody and make them even more afraid than they are right now.
That's true. And just attack each
other. I'd be terrified.
In the house. I'd like, more afraid that there's aliens out there going to get them.
That's true.
But the the possibilities of like the Universal Olympic Games would really interest me. Or like the Eurovision Song Contest for the entire galaxy. Like, who would we pick on planet Earth to represent Earth?
Well, it's like on Rick and Morty. Like, yeah. And Rick and Morty did that. Yeah, they did exactly that.
I didn't see that one. Those fucking creeps.
Yeah, they did. It was like all different like planets. They were doing like an American Idol amongst the planets. Yeah, Get Swifty. That's what Joey's saying. That's the damn
thing. Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't remember it. I remember that Get Swifty thing though.
Well, I mean, there's a lot to think about today. I think so. Oh, I think this was a hell of a show today. And we can wrap, or I can read. I know. That's why I said this is also a good show. Oh. Also was the keyword there.
Sorry.
I can read one more listener story, or we can wrap. You call it, Maddie.
Oh, and you can't just say that and then not read it. Are you fucking nuts?
Read it. Read
Are you crazy?
Okay, wait. That one has pictures. I'll hold that one. Okay, here we go. It's a short one. This
now
is
I want to see the pictures. Shannon, what are you doing to me?
Next show, it's because then I have to prepare them to show.
All right.
Okay, this is from Nick. You most likely have never heard of Partridge Island in St. John, New Brunswick, Canada, but it's where people during the Great Famine were to quarantine. 1,000 people died on the island. I stayed the night there a few years ago, and it made me 100% believe in ghosts. It always felt like something or someone was watching your every move. We tried to sleep, but there was no way I could. I'm not the best at telling a story in writing, but if you look up Partridge Island, you'll see some interesting things. P.S. I hope this makes it to the show. And you didn't really tell us anything fun, though.
What happened? You just told about Partridge Island? That was it? The end? It's in Canada?
He's like, here, do
you visit one day?
He didn't even give me a link. He was like, here, Google this and have fun. Well, I tried.
It's over?
Yeah, that's the whole story.
Oh.
So Partridge Island's haunted, everyone.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
Don't tour Partridge Island. There we go.
All right, got it. All right, we're going to wrap. Thank you guys so much for being on the show. We'll do a quick round of plugs and we'll get out of here. Start with you, Maddie. What do you got to plug?
You can follow me on Instagram at Jester Skulls and Twitch. I do stuff. I play Rocket League. I talk mad shit. I pop mad shit. Sorry, pop mad shit. Yeah, that's it, right? The end?
Yep.
Looks so, looks so cute, Shannon.
Luke, what would you like to plug?
I'd like to plug my band's latest record. Band's called The Struts. Our latest album is called Strange Days, which was written and recorded in 10 days during lockdown, the first wave of lockdown while being in LA. So it's a good listen.
Wow. That's quite an accomplishment. The first, especially like the 10 days during that period of time, I feel like everybody was the least productive and you guys were just out there killing it.
It was good. It was good.
Jim, what would you like to plug?
I do a podcast. Everybody is Awful. It comes out every Monday and Thursday. Barstool Sports or wherever you get podcasts.
Okay. And I listened to the Audible of your book, Everybody is Awful, when it first came out. It was a great
read. Did?
Yeah. Oh, cool. It was really good. I love the ones that are, you know, I have no attention span, so I have to listen through Audible. But yeah, it was great. It was a great
That's one. How I do them through Audible too. It's easier for me.
Yeah, and when it's read
Does
by the
Jim
author,
narrate
it's
much
better.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're always better when they're read by the author. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982. Wherever you listen to the show, you can also watch it live for free every single Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern at gasdigitalnetwork.com/live. That's for free. But the best way to support the show is to go to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use promo code TTI. You'll get a 2-week free trial plus access to all the other amazing shows on the network, every single episode we've ever done. And again, 2 weeks trial free. If you hate it, you don't have to stay on any longer. Send your stories for bad dates, bad things, and scary things to thethingispodcast@gmail.com. Go to podcastmerch.com for t-shirts, hoodies, and mugs. And wherever you listen, make sure to rate and review and tell a friend. That's what keeps the show going. That's what helps us out a lot. Tell two friends. That's it. We'll be back. Oh, yeah, they're asking in the chat room what the name of the book is. Everybody's Awful except for you. Except you. !! So go check that out. We'll be back next week, everyone. Thank you guys again. Bye, guys.
Thanks.
Bye.